and welcome to Revolution Radio. You're listening to Vinnie Eastwood on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com as well. Thank you very much for tuning in. I just got off the radio with Austin Thomas over at Blog Talk, Guerrilla Radio over there. And we had this, this call in from a dude who was like, ugh. And I'm so like, I'm coming into the show now, totally like on a stress response. You know what I'm saying? When somebody who's like a bad, bad person rings in, like when you're live on radio and like just uses the opportunity to like attack and demonize lie and that kind of thing. And your whole body kind of like a dog when it sees a cat just goes, you know? That's what it's like right now, brother. You know, it's quite a stressful situation. So we're trying to make sure that you're happy and fabulous and what have you on the show today, because it's about fun, really. There's only one rule on this show, and that's to have fun. Because after all, if you can't have fun when you're talking about your subsequent extermination and enslavement by ruthless pedophile scum, you know, then what's the point of being killed and enslaved? You know, that's my philosophy. I could be wrong. Maybe it's a better idea to scream and yell and get really, really upset about it. But other than that, let's have us a little bit of a fun, eh? Now, in terms of topics for today, there really is no plan. There really is no scheduling. So we're just going to see how we can spitfire a little bit of things out at you, like a World War II fight, and we're going to get them Germans and die. Yeah, it's going to be good. Now, somebody was telling me the other day about fighting, right, and fighting against an enemy. And what would you do if your country was invaded tomorrow? You know, just like that that book and that movie, Tomorrow, Where the War Began. Would you be like out in the middle of nowhere and suddenly realize, oh my God, there's some huge freaking invasion going on and you've got to pick up arms, go and sabotage bridges and that kind of thing? Are you that kind of person? In what way would you contribute? And I was coming back from a weekend with my family. It was a Labor Day weekend here in New Zealand. And my sister was saying that if we were invaded, she wouldn't be on the front line. She wouldn't be fighting and that kind of thing. She'd be organizing base camps, you know, and keeping people together, making sure that people were happy and so on and so forth. And what that reminded me of was a conversation I had with a listener this one time about being a truther, and I called him a keyboard truther. And I don't do this out of disrespect. It's actually because I acknowledge that in a so-alleged truth movement, we need people to be on those keyboards. We need people to be on the microphones. We need people to be behind the wheel. We need people to be feeding. We need people to be cooking and patching people up, and people promoting various fields of health research of eclectic natures and all of that good stuff. Because let's face it, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. So if you're like a keyboard truther and you're looking up to radio show hosts and things like that, don't, okay? You just play your part. If you have the talent to be a douchebag radio show host like moi, then go and do it. If you don't want to do that, on the other hand, if you don't have the narcissistic personality required for such a position, then there's certainly other ways you can contribute. Are you an inventor? Are you a writer? Are you a this, that, or the other? Because there's a million ways that we're all being screwed, and if you're not trying to screw humanity, then you can't be doing really that badly, can you? You see what I'm talking about? That's about it. There is no reason to sit back and think, oh, how can I contribute? There's no reason to ask somebody who's already contributing, oh, can you help me to do so? That'd be your first big mistake. Asking somebody else who isn't you, who doesn't have your talents, doesn't have your skills, how you can go about being you. Okay, that's what you're here for, that's what you're here to figure out, that's what life itself is all about. And if you think you need anybody's help, not to start with, you don't. In order to continue, on the other hand, once you've actually proven your worth to the general community, that's when people will start helping you. If you put up a network or something like this, for example, you have to run it for quite a long time at a loss before people will even have enough following to it, before they even start contributing. You see what I'm saying? And the same was true for me. I walked up to these two guys at a party and said, hey, bro, what do you do for a living? And they say, oh, we do green screening for the film industry. And I go, wow, can you help me get a job in that? Like, nope. If you want to do it, just do it. And so I did. I quit my job, got a camera, got a Mac, and just started out filming protests, public meetings, and had the most subscribed YouTube channel in New Zealand, in terms of news, that is. Until it got deleted, and now I'm back to like 1,500 subscribers. Thank you! That's not a very nice thing to happen. It's really not. In fact, I was just spending the last hour ranting about how badly it upset me. Because, look, one thing, for example, the amount of work that goes into creating thousands of videos, and I'm not talking about like little 5-minute things like commenting on an article or something like that. I'm talking about a 90-minute interview. These are shows that have been converted into videos. Not all of my broadcasts, mind you. There's probably a hell of a lot more that I haven't put up there, as we speak, but it was a lot of work. Years and years and years of work. This is more work than I'd ever put into any job I'd ever done in my entire life. You know, no kidding. I'd always done like my a year or two or whatever in the same kind of gig before kind of getting bored of it, because I wound up being better at it than the person who employed me, and then they got jealous and fire me, or I get bored and quit. You know, it's just that kind of thing that happens with me, with my personality. The Truth Movement didn't do that to me, on the other hand, because there's always something new, there's always somebody better than me, and there's always people to help. And ultimately, if your goal is helping people and exposing scumbaggery, I call that secure employment. Really. Because we're never going to run out of people that are in a bad situation, and we're never going to run out of scumbags. Are we? I don't think so. And so therefore, I've created a form of gainful employment for myself. Right? I think that's pretty reasonable compromise, considering I'm employer-phobic. You know what that means? It means a fear of gainful employment. No, seriously, even my best friend offered me a job like a couple of years back when I was in real financial straits, and I had a panic attack the night beforehand and couldn't even go in, out the door. You know, just the thought of putting on a monkey suit and going door knocking and selling stuff to people that I don't care about, that doesn't inspire me whatsoever, every single day getting stuck in traffic and that kind of thing, that messes my head up. Okay, can't do it. So when I ask for donations and people say you should go get a job, it makes me want to stab you in your ear places. All right? It's not a nice thing. I mean, I'm traumatized, bro. Can't you hear it? I'm obviously not handling it well. But the other element that I wanted to really kind of get over with is, like, how much do you think you can tell people how to run their own lives or solve their own problems if you can't run your own life or solve your own problems yourself? Mm-hmm. I'm really sick of that. I used to do this, but I don't do it anymore because I'd learn better. When you approach a radio show host or a YouTuber or something, why aren't you making this video about this obscure topic? Bro, if you want somebody to make a radio show or a YouTube video about some obscure topic that you think that they don't cover, don't go up to them and say, you don't cover this. Okay? That puts them offside instantly. And are they going to want to listen to you? Are they going to want to cover this obscure topic? No? Then try a different approach, okay? I found that the approach that's best is to not say anything to them whatsoever. Not even suggest. Just go yourself, camera, microphone, whatever you need, and do it your freaking self. All right? You know, if it's that important to you that somebody else has to do it and that you can't do it for yourself, then you need to grow up and do so quickly, because we're running out of time here. Now, I mean, what do you think? That somebody else is going to come along and solve all your problems for you? Some freaking messiah complex son of a wench is gonna you know, just appear out of the clouds someday and go, oh, I'm going to vanquish all the New World Order scumbaggery. It's going to be fantastic from now on. There'll be no deception. There'll be no lies. There'll be no misinformation in the media. We're playing a long game here, yo. They set like 100 years in order to set up this entire apparatus to destroy our freaking lives and dumb us down and turn us into slovenly, pathetic slaves. What, you think you can overdo that by getting somebody else to freaking do it for you? You've got to be kidding me, bro. You've got to be freaking kidding me. It's completely insane. And why do we even do that anymore? Okay? I think it's because we've been disempowered, really, over the course of your entire life. You go to high school or primary school, elementary, whatever it's called in your particular neck of the woods, and guess who's got the authority over you? The central figure in the classroom, the teacher. Okay? You're not the leader, are you? You're not the creator of the schedule. You're not the one who's making the education and all of that kind of thing possible for everybody else. So it develops that kind of mentality throughout your entire life, that somebody else is going to give you a regiment, somebody else is going to give you some kind of curriculum, somebody else is going to solve all your problems for you. You can run to somebody to get them to stop others from bullying you and that kind of thing. And what this does is it abdicates your personal responsibility and, more to the point, your personal ability to solve those freaking problems yourself. You're uneducated? Is there something stopping you from using Google? Something stopping you from attending YouTube University? No? Then stop complaining. Okay? Start solving it. If there's somebody out there who's on the side of the road and they're homeless or whatever, do you go home and then talk on the radio about how bad the homeless problem is? Or do you give that guy a sandwich? You know? What you do every single day has ripple effects. I know this to be true, because I've said things on radio and done things that have stopped people from committing suicide, that have made people start their own radio shows, that have given them ideas for inventions and things of that nature. Okay? And that is the ripple effect. You don't know what kind of consequences are going to come out of your actions, but you do know the kind of consequences that are going to come out of your inaction. And the answer is nothing freaking good. Isn't it? Isn't that true? When have you ever seen somebody who said, you know, I was sitting around thinking about this massive problem, and I thought to myself, I'll do nothing, and we'll see what happens. You ever seen anybody profoundly make a statement like that? No. You know why? Because nobody who sits around and does freaking nothing is a profound thinker. Okay? Just like not participating in voting. I participate in voting, but not because I think it changes anything. Voting is like chucking a stone on a pond and watching it skip. It's fun, but it doesn't change the pond any, does it? Stop thinking that there's got like this whole, there's going to be a happy ending to all of this. I assume the opposite. I assume that there is going to be a really bad ending to this. Worse than anybody can even conceive of. It's beyond our imagination. You can't conceptualize the plans that these scum that rule the world have for us all. But here's the point. They can't predict all of your actions either. Not all of them. They can't stop all of us from doing something. Not all of us. They can stop a whistleblower here or there. They can invade a country. They can pass progressive legislation to take away your rights. But they can't kill human creativity just like that. It took 100 years of the Federal Reserve, mass media marketing, and the tactics of public relations and Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, in order to instill that kind of helplessness, that kind of selfishness, and that kind of apathy, and that kind of materialism into the population. It took them 100 years. So I'm really frustrated when I see truthers go out there, they're trying to push the truth on people as if they're going to accept it right away and then get frustrated when they don't. Look, bro, it's not a fair fight. Stop acting like the truth is powerful. It's not. Lies are far more powerful than truth. That's why people are far more prone to believe lies than the truth. It's only once you realize this, and it kind of does take a few bits, it does take quite a few people to say something to you before this realization will come upon you that you're misinformed, that you're ignorant, that you've got something to learn all of a sudden, that the things that you have learned you must unlearn. That realization is a powerful mother to behold, and it is painful. You will cry. You will be in a fetal position on occasion, you know, and you won't want to accept it. But unfortunately, you have to. You have a moral obligation to accept your responsibility to save the human race. Or at least I believe I do. I don't know what the rest of everybody else's excuse is. You know, we all got our priorities. I want to save the entirety of humanity. Some people want to feed their family. You know, it's their choice. Feed your family what? GMO food? So you can watch your kids get massive tumors and things of that nature. So you can watch them become autistic from all the EMF and EMR wireless radiation that you've got coming out of your Bluetooth headphones and your wireless routers that you're cruising the internet on, looking at child porn. You know, that kind of thing doesn't vibe with me, man. You know, you've got to really have a look at yourself and question, am I being a douchebag? Am I actually doing what I'm saying that I'm going to do? Am I keeping my word? Am I still honorable in a world full of dishonor? Do I actually have any real creativity to share with the world? Is there something I can contribute to humanity that matters? Something that might be remembered? Something that will make a difference? If not making the world of difference to the whole globe and everybody in it, I'll settle for making a difference in just one person's life, one at a time, one day at a time. This whole idea that we can overthrow the New World Order, dismantle the global government, get the UN dismembered, I'm not sure if dismembered the right word, but get all the members out of the UN. Basically, that's what I meant by dismember. I think it kind of has a different word, but it's funny. So, yeah. And basically, there's a whole corporate structure, okay, that you got to deal with. And, you know, the problem with dealing with the corporate structure is that you can't change it from the inside. You know, I don't think you can. I've seen many, many people say, oh, I'm going to change it from the inside. And then they come out again, and they didn't change the corporation. The corporation changed them. And get that big lie into your head that it's only by being part of something way more massive than you that you can achieve anything. It's only by doing things with a cast of thousands that you can achieve anything. It's not true, and it's meant to be there to disempower you, to turn you into a disaffected, ineffective person. And that way it's so much easier to malign you in the media, to make you look like a fool, to do any number of demonization techniques to destroy any credibility that you have and to make your life a living hell. I've seen many activists go through it. I've made sure, even when I didn't want to, that they get the help that I can provide them when they need it. Like if they came to me and they said that I've been thrown in jail and the Prime Minister himself read off my bail conditions and I've got a 56-page dossier here chronicling and categorizing everything that happened to me. The guy who I'm talking about here is Russell Malcolm, and I got him to come into my house, had a beer or two, and got him to sit down in front of the camera and read this entire document. It took hours and hours and hours of my time that I couldn't work, couldn't be on my computer or anything like that during that period of time. And the thing is, after it was done, I had to then edit it all, which took twice to three times the amount of hours and hours and hours, you know, chopping out little word corrections, slight pauses and things of that nature, to the point where 4.5 hours of footage became less than 3 hours of footage. You have any idea the meticulous pain and detail as an editor you have to go through in order to do that for somebody who cannot pay you because the government stole all their money? Somebody who can't even open mail anymore because they've been so traumatized by the amount of documents and things of that nature that the local council and banks and the government were sending him each and every single time he opened up a letter. It destroyed his life, gave him panic attacks. I gave my time, my effort freely to this guy, and I saved his life. Sometimes that's all that it takes in order to save someone's life, is be there for them at the right time, at the right place, and do the right thing. Okay? I didn't know at the time that it was going to help him any. And then thousands upon thousands of people started watching the videos. And I rewrote a little script for him, a little five-minute summary of that 3 hours. And that gave people the general idea of what was going on, how bad it was, how painful. And that really showed, I think, that I cared. And sometimes when you're surrounded by scumbaggery, when nobody's listening, when your family thinks you're crazy, just having someone to show that they care. They don't even have to really care. Just pretend like they do. And actually do something that matters for you. That's the difference that you can make in somebody's life. That's the difference I've made in many, many activists' lives. I've been given messages a lot of the time from people who were like this close to giving up on everything and no longer believing that they could make a difference in this world. And then somebody came along, listened to them, actually cared, and got what they were talking about simultaneously, and it gives them all new vigor, all new life. Now, that's the power we have as talk radio show hosts, and I believe that if you're doing anything less with your career at this point in time, then you're wasting people's time. You're wasting your own. You're wasting your life. And there's one thing that really Fs me off more than scumbaggery taking lives, is that people wasting their own lives, wasting their own abilities, wasting their own potential by accepting good enough. Oh, well, you know, I guess I could make it improve, but I'm too lazy. I don't care. You know, it's my three most hated words. I haven't actually come up with three words that I hate more than I don't care. All right. Why don't you care, bro? All right, we're talking about the savior of the human race here. We're talking about a bunch of criminal inbred swine who have seized control of all the power vehicles of the entirety of society and are gradually using that to push us off the cliff like we're in freaking Jurassic Park, The Lost World. Okay? Don't you get it? Whatever future you think you've got, you ain't got it. Whatever future you think your children will have if you just keep your head down and be a slave, you don't have that future. You have nothing secure in your life. You know, there's something that my YouTube channel getting taken out really taught me, is that it didn't matter that I'd spent 7 years editing, uploading, and attending protests and things like that when nobody else could be bothered doing it. And if they could be bothered doing it, going to the protest and filming it, they couldn't be bothered editing it, and they couldn't be bothered uploading it, either of the two. They probably never even bothered to look through the footage that they took. It's just sitting on an SD card somewhere. I can guarantee you, in New Zealand, it's just, you were in the middle of an island nation, in the bottom of the South Pacific, and people just don't freaking care. And you know what's funny about that? I know that every American listening to this right now feels the exact same freaking way. You feel like people don't care. Like they're just happy going along to get along. And to be honest, I'm not okay with that anymore. You know, I may have once been. I may have once thought that it would be okay to take a night off and just watch a couple movies and, I don't know, play some video games or whatever, but not anymore. You know, it's like something's changed. And when you lose what you value, that's the impetus to change, I've found. If you are comfortable, if you can placate yourself with new purchases in order to keep yourself happy, you will never change anything. Either that or you won't change anything terribly significant. Because it's the complacency and that false happiness that you've got that will stop you, that will make you feel domesticated and hence make you easier to control. Are you still watching television? You should probably turn that thing off, bro. I mean, really. I did a interview with the Thunder and Light team who are doing a health conference. Well, not doing a health, they were part of it, but I asked them to ask the crowd, you know, how many of you own TVs? Plenty of hands went up. How many of you actually watch your TVs? Everybody put their hands down. Like, really, this is like a health expo at the top of the game with all the new stuff that's kind of coming out in the alternative fields. and nobody there watches TV. And I was unsurprised by that, because if you sit down and watch television for any extended period of time, think about what you gained. Okay? What did you build? What did you earn? What did you learn? And the answer is nothing, nothing, and nothing, and nothing. Okay? You waste time, you waste your brain cells, you waste your learning potential, and you waste your ability to create and do things on your own. And that's all that TV is designed to do, is to allow you to sit there, be bored, do nothing, and be happy about it. Fork that. Knife and fork that, in fact. I don't really like the idea of placating myself. Did you know that mind control is addictive? I didn't until a while ago, when I started educating myself instead of watching television. And now there's a phenomenon of children who get their screens taken away from them, whether that be a computer or a TV or a smartphone, etc. And guess what happens to them? They feel lost. They feel this feeling of lonesomeness, extreme loneliness, because their friend is brainwashing them the whole time. The thing that soaks up every bit of their attention, the thing that they communicate with everybody through, is no longer there. And they've since lost the ability to create, to entertain themselves, to imagine anything anymore that didn't come off a screen. And just remembering back when I was a kid, you know, like when Power Rangers first come out, and all the kids were playing Power Rangers, and they're just beating each other up, and, you know, and having a great time. But they didn't come up with the idea of the Power Rangers, did they? No, they saw it on TV, and then they just start acting it out in real life. Does that strike you as creativity, or does that strike you as having no creativity and just copying exactly whatever it is you see? Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with the news. If the news is reporting on some kind of terrorism attack or a viral outbreak or economic collapse or war or so on and so forth, it's just, there's an endless, endless array of things to make you scared of. And if you're sitting there watching the TV, you will become scared of them. All right. Even if you know that that's what they're doing, even if you know that that's what they're programming, you cannot stop subliminals. Okay. That's why they're illegal. You know that? It's actually illegal to put subliminal messages in television and TV and radio because they're so freaking effective. There was this dude in the UK one time, and he got a movie theater hired out and got all these people to come into it, and he flashed for 1/15th of a second before the movie rolled. Forget this film. And then he interviewed people afterwards, you know, coming out into the lobby and so on and so forth. And so, what did you think of the film? Like, oh, it was great, bro. It was freaking awesome. And he's like, okay, can you name me the, do you know what the name of the lead character was? And they're like, oh, God, you know, I should know that, you see? And it was like, it wasn't absolutely everybody, but a massive proportion, okay, of people actually literally got that 1/15th of a second embedded in their brain, and they had to forget the film. They couldn't stop it, because the brain's got no firewalls. If I were to say to you, large breasts, you instantly have an image of your mind, however jiggly they may be. And the thing is, if you can implant things into people's minds and you're not implanting something good in there, then what is happening to your brain? Okay? It's like a root of scumbaggery. Some kind of like little figurative plant is growing inside your mind day by day. And the more subliminal messaging, the more fear, the more douchebaggery that you fill it with, the greater and the faster that plant will grow. And it will destroy you. It'll destroy who you are, what you think about, what you love, and what you do. Slowly but surely, it will. Now, I'm not getting on some kind of high horse and telling everybody how to live their lives. I'm just telling you how I'm living mine. You can either listen to it or you don't have to. Okay, people want to complain, change the channel, bro. Right, really. In fact, I'd much rather people change the channel and start their own radio show than listen to my radio show. All right, really. I actually truly believe that. I would much rather wake up tomorrow and the tens of thousands of hits to my website that I get every week go to zero, and then find out that there's tens of thousands of different radio shows and YouTube channels and so on and so forth, inventions or small businesses that have been created all over the globe because people actually freaking listen to what I said, you know, and that I would be nothing. I'm prepared to do that. Okay, I'd be prepared to sacrifice everything that I've ever worked for in this entire movement if it would actually create a movement. You see? And I think we all kind of we forget that self-sacrifice is a really powerful thing. And I think we've probably forgotten it because whenever the presidents or the politicians talk about sacrifices having to be made, they're never talking about self-sacrifice, are they? You know, what are you going to do, bro? Have like an inch less armor plating on your stretched limousine? You know, is that the kind of self-sacrifice you're going to make? And somebody suggested to me on Facebook the other day, which I thought kind of interesting. I don't think it would ever get into play, but outlaw private security, right? So if every politician and every corporate scumbag and what have you was unable to hire people to protect them, then they'd actually have to start caring about people because those people would kill them. You know, I thought it was quite funny and a novel idea. And technically it might work in theory, but you know, the trickle down effect technically works in theory as well. And how's that working out for you?
Not too well, thank you.
I do believe that it's a way of kind of catalyzing what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with something that is evil, that is bad, that is terrible, you know, whatever vocabulary games you want to play in this, New World Order, Illuminati, etc., etc. I don't give a frack what label you put upon it. It's there, nonetheless, regardless of how you want to dress it up. Okay? A beautiful woman is still beautiful. Regardless of whether she's wearing a dirty rags or a million-dollar Versace dress, you know, she's still beautiful. And this New World Order, no matter how much they dress it up, no matter how much they try to beautify it with wonderful word manipulation and spelling and, you know, that kind of jazz, it's still scumbaggery. And if you can't expose the scumbaggery within yourself, how are you going to expose the scumbaggery of anybody else? You see what I'm saying? If without that self-analysis to just sit there and go, hey, Vinny,
yeah,
are you being a bit of a douchebag right now? I go, yeah, well, you know what? Actually, I just insulted my own sister, and I made her really angry and upset. So I guess I am being a bit of a douchebag. Okay, well, maybe you should stop that then, bro. I go, okay, all right. Okay, I got it. Self-control. You know? I'm going to get myself in order because ultimately that's the only way we're going to fight the New World Order is by ordering our own lives, ordering our own minds, ordering these things in a way that is actually useful. If it's not working, then change it. Now, I think that, and of course, this is about ripple effects as well, so you can't really predict exactly how much changes. So people could come up to me and say, Vinny, you know, how many pieces of legislation that you didn't want being put through Parliament did you stop by yourself? The answer is obviously zero. I'm not that powerful. I'm not the government. I don't have the ability to pass things under urgency, or I don't have veto rights. I'm just a dude. Granted, I'm a talker, you know. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, we're not dealing with people who just talk. They act. They really do. They will and have mass surveilled cities, towns, cults or any number of people. And they have sent in people in black uniforms. They have flamethrowered houses full of children. They have pointed carbines at six-year-olds and got them down on their knees on the side of the street. They have executed children. They have done so many horrific things, and people accept it. Why? Well, you all know why. It's like I said before, it's taken 100 years to prepare people to accept it. And so my thoughts are on this, even if what I do today doesn't have the direct effects shown, in 100 years they might. So the New World Order's game was, let's do an evil thing today, and an evil thing tomorrow, and an evil thing every day, but only just a little bit evil. And by the end of it, it'll add up to quite a lot of evil. Okay? And then you look at our current society, yep, they were right. You know, it's just evil, soullessness, scumbaggery, freaking everywhere you look, you know? And the only way you can't see it is if you close your eyes, but then you start imagining it, so that doesn't work either. There's no escape, okay? There is no escape from this. That's the thing that really got me down initially, is knowing that I didn't have a choice. If I wanted to live, if I wanted to be happy, if I wanted to see a future at all, I had to give up everything that I had. I had to quit my job. I had to reskill myself. I had to spend all my money. I had to start begging for help from the listeners and so on and so forth. I literally had to cast out everything that I was, because I knew that everything that I was a lie. And it's not a nice, it's not a nice realization to come to that. That everything you are is a lie. You know? It's not good. It's really quite painful. There's a destruction in your soul that happens. And it does break you. Because it means that you have to start again. Okay? Imagine if you've... what was that realization I had this one time? Oh, yeah. School. How much time did I spend in school? Well... let's think about it. From the age of 6 through to the age of 18, I went to high school, and then the ages of 19 and 20 did university. So that's about 14 years, give or take. And do you know how many times I've actually used in my own life, practically, any of the skills that I learned during those 14 years? Not once. You know how many friends I've got from my old school days, from my old university days? Not one. Not only, and I was good at making friends, okay? It wasn't that difficult for me to make a good friend. My dad was the same way. You know, you go over to Australia, you know, working in the mines and things like that, and make a good friend. You know, became my godfather, Uncle Chris Finkel. And the thing is, when it comes down to it, do those friends actually have value, though? Do they actually care so much about you as a friend that they're willing to do what friends do? Sacrifice for each other, have fun with one another, that kind of thing. And the answer is, in a lot of cases, no. They're not really your friends. Maybe they never really were. But when you think about it, if you've wasted 14 years of your life just in schooling and higher education combining, you have to start learning from scratch again. All right? And that's really annoying. Like, imagine if you did like a 7-year law degree or a medical degree or something like that. And then they tell you at the very end of it, by the way, you have to start all over again, bro, because we purposely taught you all the wrong things the first 7 years. And then after you've done your second set of 7 years, they then do it to you again. you crafty devils. Oh, just didn't see that one coming. I didn't realize that friends actually behave differently to what I thought they did. I didn't realize that politics was different to what I was told it was. I didn't realize that the police were actually lying scum who would actually soon kill years look at you, who make up evidence in court and never get called up on it. there's been like 1,600 people or something that have been killed by the New Zealand police in the line of duty in the last couple of decades. You know how many of them have gone to prison or so much as lost their job? Zero. Zero. Oh my God. It's that bad, ladies and gentlemen. It's that bad. We're run by criminals and they love being criminals. Okay? They got no qualms about it. They will hurt children, your children. They will kidnap them, sell them to pedophiles without batting an eyelash. That's what we're up against. How do you fight an enemy like that? They got no rules. No rules whatsoever. We've got rules, we've got morality, you know, that kind of thing, and there's limits to what we can do with our resources. And we're not up against somebody who's got that kind of element. And this is something that I'm really, really concerned about. How the hell do you fight something like this? I don't know. How do you defeat something like this? I don't know. So how do you live with the fact that you don't know how to fight them? And you don't know how to defeat them. Well, there's two options. Number one, you can be like me, and you can assume that we're screwed. Right? That's my general base assumption. Doesn't sound very happy. Doesn't sound very fun, does it? But that's my general assumption. And there's a reason for that assumption. Is because if you assume you're going to win, if you assume that you're going to take them to the cleaners every time you fight them, and they do the opposite of what you thought was going to happen, you're going to get depressed. You're going to stop wanting to fight them because of your fear of not succeeding. I go into it with the direct opposite assumption. I'm in it to win it, but I assume that I'm going to lose. So that means every single day that I resist in any way, shape, or form, whether I'm resisting mind control, whether I'm resisting stupidity, whether I'm resisting outright blissful ignorance. As long as I'm resisting it, as long as I'm not going along with the program, I win. There's no other way to go about it, in my opinion, and still be able to live with myself. I wouldn't be able to do it, because if you resign yourself to fate, fate rules your life, and there's nothing you can do to change it. Your motivation to do anything, to change yourself, to learn new things, diminishes rapidly. The longer you keep believing it, the longer you stop believing that you personally are a powerful individual that can go out and change things just via your own volition, just via your own actions. The second you start believing that is a downward slope, you know? Nothing begets nothing. Just like action begets action. Action begets reaction, sorry. And I think that if we're empowered enough to resist in our own unique way, then there might be a chance, that slim sliver, such mad hope, that there can be a way out of this. But it's not through following others. Not by telling everyone else what the overall 100% solution, that you'll never have to work again in your life, you'll never pay taxes, you'll never be subject to the law, or blah, 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 blah. I don't agree with anything that says they've got a cure-all for the system, okay? The system has thought of so many ways to subvert, distract, and destroy any movement that props up, to co-opt, and so on and so forth. So it's like Alan Watt. He sounds really depressing when I interviewed him. He was telling me that I think the New World Order is going to win because any good movement gets co-opted, and they've been doing this for over 100 years, and we're basically totally outgunned. They know how to control culture. They know all of this. And you know, to a certain extent, he's probably right. You know, the game is rigged. The table is tilted. There is no way of winning a rigged game unless you cheat, unless you don't play by the rules. You know? Now, I'm not saying go out and just rob people blind and be a scumbag. And in fact, this is something I've been thinking about just recently, is truthers who turn to the New World Order. My Jedi who turn to the dark side. that's no mystery to me. I know why they do it. Because they believe that there is no hope. And they'd rather be on the right hand of the devil than in his path. I can understand that. I would never do it myself. Because I can't. It's almost like my free will's been hardwired by the things that have happened to me. Is that there's only one point in existing now, and that's I exist to resist. It's all I can do. It's become my mantra. It's become my life's work. And I've never had a life's work before. And what better life's work is there than informing people, helping them, serving humanity to the best of one's ability, and getting mild rewards for it. You know, I'm not going to be a billionaire someday. I'm not going to have the ability to cruise around in a stretched Humvee that I have on permanent loan from some, you know. It's just not going to happen. At least I don't think so. I could be wrong, but, you know, a flying spaghetti monster named Zarg could invade the Earth and take all of us out, you know, and all of our advanced technology will just ping off his spaghetti tendrils and we're screwed. You know, that's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. In fact, there's actually a cult out there. There's some religion who actually thinks there is going to be a flying spaghetti monster. You know? My goodness. There's even an atheist church in the United Kingdom. One opened up. So somebody doesn't believe in God opened up a church. Yeah. People are funny, man. And we get even funnier by the day, the more beliefs that we think that we've got. do you see what I'm saying? It's like, bro, you've got to be freaking kidding me, yo. I'm not really happy with the way things are going in my own life, and so therefore I'm going to start a religion that opposes the things that don't make me happy. Now, is that an effective way of resisting a religion, is to start up your own religion to counteract it? Or are you just playing the same stupid game and creating another system for the royal we system to take over at the end of the day? Well, yes you are. And that's what happens. We all try to join these big groups. We always try to get as many people as we can involved and as much money and funding as we possibly can. And then when it collapses, we go, oh, well, that was terrible. But some people don't do that. They have more life experience. They go, you know what? I'm going to do this again. And I'm going to change how I'm doing it. I'm going to do it better. I'm going to create something that has never been done before. Those kind of thoughts, those kind of people are what I'm interested in. I talk about the one, and let me just define it. It's kind of like a collective slash individualist thing, so give me a minute. The tactic of the cactus. I like to talk about this because it kind of really does work as an analogy, or at least in my opinion it does. Every single conspiracy that's around the world, regardless of what area you're in, if you're in New Zealand, or if you're in Auckland in New Zealand, or if you're in Australia, or specifically Canberra, the capital there, or in the United States, and if you're in New York City or in Salt Lake City, Utah, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, there's scumbaggery in play. Okay, already. All right? Even now in your very home, there's probably some form of scumbaggery going on. I don't know if I can prove that, but anyway, the point is, how does a cactus protect itself from assailants? It covers itself in spines that protect itself in every single direction. Okay? So it doesn't matter how you come at the cactus, you're going to get pricked. And it will serve as a reminder that you don't want to touch it. For every conspiracy, for every instance of scumbaggery, for every town and every city, there is the one person in that place, in that time. They are the man or woman for their time and place, for whom that topic of scumbaggery, for whom that specific form of debauchery is their ticket. They love it. Bury their head right into it like a tick and don't let go. Those are the people, whether or not they're aware of it, that are protecting humanity as one spine on that cactus. So if you ever needed motivation to be a bit of a prick sometimes, there you go. It'd be fantastic, isn't it? I reckon so. I consider myself to be a rather enormous prick. 6'4" and all. And that's why so many people look up to me. Yeah. Yeah. It's not fun being tall, eh? Like, really. Because most people don't know what it's like bumping their head against a door frame or having their feet stick out of the end of the bed, like you're in a child's bed, you know, or actually being in a lot of pain because you're in a Japanese car. That's the kind of thing. And my mate, Jono, he's exactly the same height as me. Like, we're exactly the same height to the millimeter. And we both have these problems, and we've just concluded that the world is not built for people like us, you know? And just like the world is not built for truthers. But that doesn't mean there can't be some kind of artisan people out there, you know, building bench tops that are a little bit higher, door frames that are a little bit taller, and lights that don't hang off the ceiling so low that you bang your head on them every single time you walk past the living room. You know? There's solutions to everything. And I think that it comes down to how do you think you can best contribute, you know? I mean, I thought, look at myself. I'm like, I'm a douchebag. I'm a narcissistic wannabe. And I like fame. I like recognition. But I also like really helping people, you know? And I like being creative. And I like doing things that nobody else has done. And I like ranting, more or less. So I've picked a career path that's kind of natural to, and suits me, for which I can do some good while using my natural talents and my natural flaws, and actually use that as resistance in my own way. And I think that's a good idea for everybody. You know, figure out how to resist in your own way, and ultimately, what have you got to lose by that? You know, you might have difficulty adjusting. It took like nearly 4 years of busting my hump as hard as I could every day at this gig, trying to get enough listeners, get enough support from the community that I'm trying to help before everything goes for naught. You see? It's just about that. And the best thing that can ever happen to you is realizing that you don't have a choice, right? If you don't have a choice, or you don't feel like you've got a choice, then you basically make the decision fairly quickly, okay? If I were to offer you a box of chocolates and say there's 40 different flavors of chocolate in here, pick one. Are you going to be instantly, yep, the peppermint, yep, the strawberry? No, you're not, because you're going to know where all your options are. And there was this child experiment where they gave kids two different chocolates and asked them to make a decision which chocolate they wanted, and then rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how satisfied they wound up being with their choice. And then they had another set of kids who had 30 different chocolates to choose from, and then they had to rate, obviously, how their satisfaction level was. And they found that overwhelmingly, the kids with less choice were far more satisfied with the choice that they made. You know, and what that taught me is basically, when you're backed into a corner, it's not something that is enslaving you, it's something that is freeing you, because you have no other option. You sort of know what I mean, don't you? You've been in situations in your own life, haven't you, where you don't have a choice, where you must do something. And that is the kind of motivation that I think can really change worlds. It can change minds, it can change hearts, but the first has to be yours. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back right after the break.
Christian Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please come back when you can afford to make a purchase.
Oh, no, no.
I'm sorry you had
trouble.
Come
on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Imagine, just imagine.
Imagine a world
where every child and adult will have the opportunity to achieve their dreams.
I believe my inspiration is the answer.
My inspiration is the greatest light,
the greatest energy.
It was born when the universe was sparked into life.
It's within everything.
My inspiration transforms pain into happiness
and failure into success.
My inspiration inspires lives.
It inspires lives.
It inspires human lives.
My inspiration is always shining like the sun.
But it doesn't mean that it's alive.
For centuries, my inspiration was in prison.
In prison.
In prison.
It doesn't belong there.
Its home is to be known to all people.
My inspiration is in trouble.
We are fighting for its life right now.
Right this moment.
This moment.
Millions all over the world want to go beyond their limitations.
Liberate their dreams and reach success.
The failure of us all to be someone
is the biggest disease
of all time.
Each day our brothers and sisters died.
Please help us to birth this inspiration to life.
And that will stop this disease.
Help us get the word out of our inspiration.
Help us.
Help us.
It's our shared belief for a better future beyond the horizon.
Let's write the future.
Heroism is here.
Stand up and grasp it.
Stand up.
Stand up and grasp it.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up for the dreams of all people.
This is Matt Hoff from Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and now is your time to stand up and make a difference or fade away.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Are there other humans in our Milky Way galaxy? What is our real history? What happens after we die? Or what created our universe? What is the purpose of our lives? What evolutionary steps do human societies go through? Who built the ancient monolithic sites found all over the Earth? How do the extraterrestrials travel from star to star system with almost no time passing? Ohio Exopolitics is on at 8:10 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio. Join Mark Snyder as he interviews a myriad of excellent guests each Saturday night on Revolution Radio.
And freedomslips.com.
Hi, this is the voice known as Tammy Pepperman. Have you ever thought about how this seems like a farm? The food comes with daily recommended allowance, just like any other farm animal. If you get out of line, you get prodded, slapped, or killed if you're too much liability. And if you are not earning your keep, you can find yourself in prison for non-payment of taxes or child support. If you're tired of being farm product, join us every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Studio B, and Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Studio B, right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.